This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Come get some. Beware, I live. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. With me this week is Greg Miller.
You ever notice how ornery sounds like horny?
It does. I don't like the word. Ornery is weird. You know what? A word that's like that is aural. A-U-R-A-L, okay. Right?
Have I ever...
That's like aural. Okay. I don't like that word either.
Okay.
Andrew Goldfarb is here.
I am doing things orally.
You're doing orally, buddy.
A little of both.
And Mitchie D is here.
Did you know that race car spelled backwards is race car?
Oh, I did not.
What is that called?
Palindrome.
Palindrome.
Palindrome. There's a really good...
What's everybody's favorite palindrome?
Mom.
Go around.
There's a really good They Might Be Giants song called I Palindrome I. Mm. Look it up, listeners, if you don't know it. Listeners, welcome to GameScoop episode 254. We've been recording this podcast for 6 years now.
Oof, man.
Wow. God.
Time to switch things up a little bit, I think. Some very exciting things are in store for GameScoop. Starting next week on Monday, the hour-long aural podcast that goes up on Fridays. That's not changing. You're still going to get that every Friday. But starting on Monday, we'll be putting up a daily GameScoop video show on IGN and YouTube. It'll be like 10 or 15 minutes each episode, one episode a day, and then on Friday I'll cut them all together, so you'll have this hour-long video show, GameScoop video show, that you can watch on Fridays on the weekends if you so desire.
That's so much GameScoop in a
week. It should be really cool. So we'll start that on Monday. Check that out. And then if you just want to hear the audio podcast on Friday, those will still be going up too. So please do enjoy all of that stuff. Let's talk about the news that happened this
week.
Hey,
news. How you doing?
Photos of a next-generation Xbox development kit have emerged online.
And they are beautiful.
I couldn't believe how awesome the development kit looks.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
What
right?
A cool design.
I can't wait to own that device.
Everyone listening who will one day leak something, invest in a nice camera.
Right? I know.
Take more than one shot staying still when you take the photo.
Now, may I add, this is a really good example of why the GameScoop video show will be great, because
right?
You'll be able to see the photos that we're looking at. I can show you what these photos look like.
You'll also be able to see that we're all naked right now.
Yeah. I have a strict no clothes policy when I'm recording GameScoop. These photos emerged on a forum for game developers, right? Yes. When this user posted the photos online and was trying to sell the Xbox development kit for $10,000.
That went over well, I'm
first
sure.
of all, who? Yeah, how sketchy is that? Who is this guy? Obviously, this guy has no business having an Xbox development kit if he's going to try to sell it. So how did he get it?
Also, like, you don't own that kit. That's not yours to sell.
Yeah, when Microsoft comes calling for it, you're fell off a truck.
I lost it.
Even when we have like a debug system in the office, which, I mean, it's different than a development kit, but like if a debug dies, we have to send it back to Microsoft or Sony. So it's like, Wait, what if that development kit, someone bought it for $10,000, then it broke? Like,
theoretically, we're supposed to do that. We usually end up throwing them off parking garages.
That does happen. So this guy posted photos of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's an anonymous looking black box.
It looks like a pop anonymous black box.
It looks like my PC. Like, I have that. That's in my living room right now.
Yeah, it looks like a Dell, but somebody peeled off all the logos.
The dashboard does contain the name Durango, though, mm-hmm. apparently confirming that that is the code name that they've been using to call it.
Yeah, and it has a thing that very clearly shows that Kinect is going to be integrated, because it like talks about the NUI view, right. which is the natural user interface.
Yeah.
Also, it's got that sweet Matrix rain.
Yeah, it has that crazy like ones and zeros in the background. It's pretty crazy.
So we take from this, Xbox development kits are out there in the hands of developers, and they're making next generation Xbox games.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, it's not entirely surprising because, like, you see so many job listings. You know, Infinity Ward's hiring for next gen, id,
Lionhead,
Crystal Dynamics,
Rare.
Yep, there are a lot of them.
Plus, we had a story about kits being manufactured, like next gen kits being manufactured, probably to send out to developers. It's starting to all add up. It's coming.
Yep.
Next gen is soon.
There will be a new Xbox.
Which is closer to reality, the next Xbox or the PlayStation 4?
I thought you were going to say the next Xbox.
I bet they
the
come out at the exact same time.
Like, you day and date?
Yeah. They come out at the exact same time?
No, not like same
as far
day,
as like, games that are being made, the same amount of games, the developers have had the kits for the same amount of time.
I see what you're saying. I
would. I have no basis whatsoever. I'm completely talking out of my ass. But if I were to just answer this question, I would say...
If I was to answer this question, which I won't...
I think Microsoft ones probably went out first. And,
I would agree with that.
It seems like Sony would probably... Like, I would guess now, obviously, there are like Orbis development kits that people have. But
sure.
I think Microsoft was probably first with kits out. But that said, I think like retail release will be fall 2013 for both.
Yeah,
if I had to guess.
Sony's prerogative has been like, 10-year console life cycle. So they've probably been trying to delay this as long as possible. And I figure if they're adapting it now, it's probably... They'll probably come out next year, right? Alongside the 360 or the Xbox 720 or whatever it is.
But how weird is it? Like, it's so weird because we've been talking about next gen. I mean, I've been here for almost a year at IGN. And my first week, I was talking about next gen rumors and, like, how people were already developing for next gen stuff. And how weird is it? I just touched
your hand. Touch it. Nice.
How weird is it that the entire time Microsoft and Sony have never officially commented on those systems? They've never said anything that actually officially confirms they're coming.
No, I mean, that's weird. That's just,
they haven't made an announcement.
What do you want them to
they,
do?
They'd have a Goldie. Huge announcement.
They're not going to
they're not
going to
like offhand
real,
be like, oh yeah, next year we'll have the next Xbox and yeah.
Ain't no
look forward to that. Yeah.
I just think I'm surprised that no executive has just been like, yeah, we're working on that. You'll hear about it more soon.
No, because they want it to be a big surprise. They want it to come out and be like, oh my God, there it is.
Well, this is why I don't run a business, Damon.
This is why I'm not in charge of Sony right here.
What's more surprising to me is that it's August. There are only 5 months left in this year. And
God, it's gone fast.
The Wii U is supposed to be coming out this year, and there's no release date. There's no marketing for it.
Yeah.
How is that console coming out this year?
I keep forgetting about it. Like,
I think Nintendo saw what a raging success the PlayStation Vita was, and like, let's go with that marketing strategy.
That's crazy. How is that console coming out this year?
Yeah, that's nuts. And we know nothing. It's like crazy to me that we don't know the price or anything yet. They haven't talked about, like... Now you're seeing more and more, like yesterday EA said that Mass Effect is a launch title, and you're hearing that more and more. You're hearing what the launch lineup is going to be. It's kind of a picture is kind of forming, but it's like there's still no dates on any of these things. Like, that's crazy.
Does it get pushed to next year?
The Wii U?
No,
it's happening. It's going to kill at holiday.
Because that's the thing, right? Like,
it can't kill unless people know about it. They have
sure.
to. There's no marketing for it.
But it has nothing to compete with if it comes out this year. You know, like it would be the only console coming out.
Yeah, I figure Black Friday.
So they can just say it's out now, and then that's fine.
That'll be great. It works for Apple.
Yeah, I think that's different. I think Apple's different, but I think
the exact same company.
Confirmed. You heard it here first.
You heard it here.
No, I mean, I just think like if Nintendo, like, I totally agree they're running out of time. I don't think they're out of time yet. Like, if they make this announcement in
again,
I'm talking business hand every time. But no, I think if Nintendo announces it in early September, they would still have time to market it for like a mid-November release. Like, I think that would be okay.
Yeah.
But I agree that, like, if it's the end of September, like, if it's 2 months from now and they still haven't confirmed these details, like, what are they doing? That's not good, Damon.
It's the opposite of good, Damon.
It is
Damon, bad. I've heard that's not great.
Okay, moving on. Star Wars The Old Republic is going free to play this fall.
I'm actually going to play that game again.
That's what their hope is. That's, yeah. This is their plan.
My subscription plan.
Would you call it a new hope?
See you guys later. It's been a good chat.
Why did you stop playing?
I pre-ordered it because I was like, oh my god! And then my subscription ran out after the first month because it was free, and my credit card was declined. I was like, oh, I don't care anymore.
Done.
Yep.
Like, that's all I needed. That one minor hurdle is all I needed. Never to do this again.
I'm suddenly inconvenienced. I'm out. Now that it's free to play, I can just log in and play and keep going to the end, like to the level cap. That's awesome. I can finish my story for free. And if you haven't started, it's what, like $15 to buy now at retail?
Is it $15?
Yeah, I think they knocked the price down of the game to $15.
No,
I
think that's a limited time.
Yeah, it's like starting like this week or next week, they're going to knock the game price down.
There's a temporary sale,
bucks.
So it's $15. That gets you the game and a 1 month subscription.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so there will still be the subscription, and that gets you like some more high level exclusive content.
Yeah,
but it'll be free to play for all the story content, all 8 classes, and you can play all the way up to the level cap of 50.
That's
being free.
Like, free to play is so smart, and it's obvious that that's the direction the whole industry is moving in. You know, and it's like, I wonder how many more subscription MMOs there will be until we finally just adopt the free to play model for everything.
Yeah, it's like the Old Republic began development years ago. Before the free-to-play model was, you know, the standard. So I can see it must be weird for them, right? Because they're building this whole game thinking it'll be a subscription model. But then by the time it's finished and ready to be released, the subscription model is outdated.
Yeah, that's what's interesting about that, like, protracted cycle. Because, yeah, that's exactly what happens. Like, the industry, it's like a young industry, you know? Like, we think of it as being around for, like, most of our lifetimes. But it is, like, really young compared to other entertainment things. And, like, it's evolving and changing so quickly that, like... It's interesting seeing like examples like this. I also it's crazy how fast the subscribers dropped off for that game. Mm-hmm. So like I think it's really not surprising that they would finally move in this direction.
Yeah, I mean they're just above 500K right now in terms of subscribers, like existing players.
All they said was it's well above 500K is what they said, but it's below a million. But yeah, by wording it that way, it does sound like it's probably like 600. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And on paper, that game is a huge hit. Because it's BioWare.
And it was briefly
and
massive.
It's Star Wars.
You couldn't get away from it for a while. We had signs up in the bathroom at IGN for people wanting to join different guilds.
It was very brief, though. It was
also
like a month.
Signs up in the bathroom about not peeing on the floor.
Well, we need that sign. You need that reminder.
I'm like, oh shit, I forgot again.
This bathroom's great. I can pee anywhere.
Yeah, Greg, you played for a hot second.
I did. For a hot day.
Yeah.
Before I went to a movie, I think with you.
Really?
Somebody. It was the Christmas break.
Oh, did we go to see Girl with the Dragon Tattoo?
That might be it. Yeah, that was a good movie, too.
It was.
Yeah, I played. I liked it a lot. At the time, I hadn't bought my gaming PC yet, so I was like, I can only play at work, so I came in and played at work. I think for a weekend, I did. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
It was amazing. I came in on Saturday to get something for my desk or whatever, and I didn't see you at all. And then your head popped up, and you had like, just gotten a haircut, and you looked really young, and it was just like a little kid playing. It was adorable.
That was amazing. That falls into the amazing category of Gold Farms.
I have so little regret.
Highlight of his life.
Takes nothing to please me.
Yeah, you talk about free-to-play. Notice yesterday on the iTunes App Store, they sort games by best-selling, best-paid, best-free. And then there's top grossing apps. So the games that are making the most money, they're all free-to-play. Every single one. So all of the iOS games that are making the most money are free-to-play.
Yep.
It's just Brave New World.
It's kind of mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
For the App Store specifically, it's such a good model, too. Like, it just makes sense to do in-app purchases.
Yeah, like, a bunch of us in the office were playing Triple Town. That game is free, and then you would just buy, like, I'm out of turns. I need to buy more turns.
Okay, take it.
Give me the turns.
Similarly, the Expendables cost you $15 on the PSN, but if you don't want to sit there and level up all your characters, you can buy and unlock all their levels for
$2,
$3.
So that makes it $17 or $18?
Yeah, yeah.
But doesn't that sound crazy now?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah,
when you think of how much game you can get for free or for $1 or $2 now, it's like, really?
It's definitely
Ubisoft,
it's $18? Definitely out of system. Yeah. It's definitely out of whack right now. Out of system doesn't make any sense.
No, I like that.
Did you like that? That's a new one. We're going to coin that phrase? All right. This is out of system, man.
Another $15 downloadable game that was released this week is Deadlight.
Deadlight.
On Xbox Live Arcade.
Summer of Arcade, Dan.
Part of the Summer of Arcade. probably my biggest disappointment of the year so far.
It's
not even bad. It's not terrible.
Yeah,
but
it's just not great.
A big disappointment for me. I was really looking forward to that game.
Yeah, I played it. I did the thing from Comic-Con saying how I was totally blown away by how much fun it was and how great it looked and everything else. And playing through it, I enjoyed it still, but there definitely was now, you know, in a controlled atmosphere in your apartment, it's like, oh, well, I don't really like this character at all, and the voice acting's no good.
Yeah, the guy you play is dumb. He's like, he talks like this.
I'm an American.
I'm recording a podcast right now. That's everything he says to you sounds exactly like that.
Miss my wife.
I need to find my friends. So that guy sucks. I think the whole setup is weak. You're just at the beginning of the game, like, oh, I shot this person, and now there's zombies, spoilers, apparently, and now my friends are running off without me. Like, it's set up very poorly. Yeah. And then it's really clunky. The platforming isn't great. So there was, like, this – I was stuck on this part where – there's a pit, and you have to push a box to the ledge and jump on the box to hop over the pit. I was like trying it several times, and I was like, "Well, this must not be what you have to do." Well, so I looked up the fact, and it was like, "Well, just hop across the pit." And I was like, "What?
Why
was this so difficult?"
There was the three spots I think I got stuck at my first night playing, where I was like, well, "I'm missing something." I'd run back and backtrack and look around. Finally, it turned out, I was just like, I wasn't in the hitbox for where I needed to jump.
Trying to jump on those light posts or whatever, the electrical posts. Trying to climb, can't figure out how to like grab the. Not jumping high enough. Now he's jumping high enough. Like, I don't know. There are times where I feel like I do the exact same thing in that game, and then suddenly it works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I fail, and I'm frustrated, and I don't know what I'm doing wrong. But, I wasn't doing anything wrong. It was fine. I just, missed the mark somehow. It's mildly irritating to play that game sometimes.
Mildly irritating.
That's so disappointing.
I know.
I went home, and I was like, I had my code. I had it all downloaded. I was getting all excited, and then Mitch was just like, nope. He was just like not enjoying this.
I think my exact message was, did you get to this bullshit sewer segment?
Yeah, it just like totally like all of my enthusiasm left, and I was like, I'm just gonna go to bed early, and now I haven't played it yet.
That's how Gold Farm works. He just needs a mild impression from anyone around him. He takes it on and decides that's it.
No, it wasn't a mild impression. Mitch doesn't do anything mild.
It's true.
He's a spicy guy.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know. I was playing it last night. See, this will be good when we have a video show.
Yeah, true.
Nobody can see us holding hands.
I was playing it last night, and I just wasn't really compelled to keep playing it. I moved back to Mass Effect 3, which I still haven't beaten.
Wow.
I still haven't beaten that game yet.
Well, now the Leviathan DLC will change the ending again, David, so hold off a little bit longer.
He just keeps waiting.
About the third Hobbit movie.
Ugh. There and back again.
It's a trilogy
one more time.
See, exactly. I'm excited for the Hobbit, and every time I see a trailer, I'm like, oh man, like I forget how much I love that universe. But like, God, like I thought it was weird they split it in two. Like three is just crazy. Like that means the next one or the last one will come out in 2015, I guess. Like,
yeah.
That's 2014.
In the amount of time it will take you to sit through one of the three movies, you could just read the book. Like, it's a short book.
Yeah, the book
I don't
is
know
like
how
200
they're making
pages
three,
or something.
Three films.
Yeah, so they turned three books into three movies, and now they turn one book into three movies.
Yeah,
that's Up at Noon, it gets explained. So what I understand is that there are appendices they're pulling from as well.
Yeah.
And then some other book that got published after the guy died.
Silmarillion.
Silmarillion. Yeah.
Yeah. Ryan Clements was trying to explain all of this to me. And I was
you want to know, this is, I'll spoil the Up at Noon joke. You want to know who you need to talk to? Craig Baradon.
Really?
He knows?
It's the Craig Baradon segment, and he explains how this could possibly happen.
Wow. That's actually really funny.
Yeah, so you mentioned Darren Beck again. So that was going to be the name of the second film, and apparently they've changed that now.
To what?
Well, it's now
the one without Smog.
Yeah, now Universal is just calling it the second film. Because now, obviously, they're not coming back again yet on the second movie.
So just there.
Yeah, just there.
On back. The way.
The first one comes out this December, and then the second one comes out next December, 2013, and now the third one's supposed to come out the summer of 2014.
Oh boy!
I mean, if they're all good, then I think that's great. Like, sure, more fun, Lord of the Rings movies.
How are they going to drag this out? Like, does the first movie end when Bilbo's like, "All right, let's go," and then like credits
to be continued?
Yeah,
that's the first third of the book.
That's the thing. Like, I have no problem when people split movies in half. Like the last Harry Potter movie, it made perfect sense because that's a crazy long.
Your favorite movie, Twilight.
Yeah, my favorite movie, Twilight. Exactly. Like, when there's material for it, that's fine. And, like, if they're really using all these appendices and there's that much material that they can do three great movies, that's awesome. But, like, I just hope it doesn't feel like they're padding them so they can make three movies, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there is stuff in those appendices. sorry. There's stuff going on. Like there's a whole war happening behind the scenes that they eventually get to, but like it's kind of part of what makes that war cool in the book is like, holy shit, this is happening, and now they're involved. Rather than I knew all about this, and I like it was kind of surprising that they discovered it and they kind of stumbled into it.
Spoiler
for that 50-year-old book.
I hope they're good. I liked the Lord of the Rings films, but then King Kong was a mess.
Yeah.
And I didn't even see Lovely Bones because nobody seemed to love it.
Oh, so bad.
I know someone killed me.
My father
couldn't see me.
Stanley Tucci's voice. He was like, hey, you're the Seven Girl or whatever. It was amazing. Yeah. That movie's so bad.
Maybe Peter Jackson can just make good Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah.
That's his marketable thing. Talent.
Yeah. He made that old Kate Winslet movie. What was that?
Titanic.
Yeah. No. Yes, Peter Jackson's Titanic.
Total Recall is out today.
Good.
It has a 45 on Metacritic.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, the trailer actually looks good.
No,
I went the whole spectrum. I was like, oh, it's so stupid they're remaking this. And then I was like, oh, I guess those like pictures look kind of cool. Then the trailer came out. I was like, all right, I'm sold on this.
It doesn't look like Total Recall. It's just like, that looks like a cool sci-fi movie. Yeah. I'm into that.
With three boobs.
Uh-huh.
That are covered, by the way.
Are they really?
Yes.
PG-13.
Ripping up my ticket.
Why are we doing this? Why are we making movies worse?
Right?
If you're going to make a dumb action movie, put three boobs in it. Naked. Naked boobs.
I was thinking, the PG-13 movie thing is an epidemic. It's awful.
Just get rid of it.
I mean, like, they do it so that kids can go see the movies.
Yeah, you make
and
more
they
money.
Make more money. Yeah. But like, there are no fucking good movies for fucking adults. Like I realize we have to turn to video games for our R-rated entertainment.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
The first Total Recall is a perfect film.
Correct.
It does not need to be remade at all.
Yep.
But one of the things that made it so unique was that it was hyper violent. Crazy violent.
Dude, well, gets a Paul drill
Verhoeven.
In the chest.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Paul Spoilers. Verhoeven. Yeah. And so let's remake it. Let's neuter it. And we'll make it PG-13. And then you notice in the trailer, like, there's the cops that are chasing them are all like robot cyborg cops. Yeah. So he can kill all of them and it's fine. There's no blood. He's not really killing people, right? Like, that's how they get around.
This is the 1990s Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Where the foot are robots.
Yeah, it is really weird that they would take, like, you're absolutely right. The point of that movie is that it's, like, really stylized and violent, and it's, like, a really typical Verhoeven thing. And, like, remaking it and removing those elements seems like a bad idea.
Yes.
Also, just making Recall spelled with a K in the movie. Like, why? K's are cool.
It's clever.
It's a Mortal Kombat tie.
Now you're talking about it, aren't you? It's like mission accomplished from Total Recall marketing.
We got a big update on Grand Theft Auto 5.
Oh my god. We've got a main character name, reveal. A setting,
new city.
Time period.
Greg, the game is making substantial progress.
OMG. Thank god. I was afraid no progress is being made.
And then the CEO of Take-Two dropped the mic and was like, I'm out.
Yep. That was pretty. And then someone prank called their investor call.
So that's actually amazing, right?
Yeah. It was during the Take-Two investor call, which is like, these calls are really, really dry.
These are like business financial calls where they report their earnings for their fiscal quarter.
Sounds exciting.
And that's literally what they are. They are reading an earnings report to their shareholders, and that's why these calls exist. But at the end, there are these Q&A sessions, and the reason that we sit in on them is because, you know, they'll occasionally talk about like a project is canceled or a release date or whatever.
Investors want to know, like, hey, so we want money. What's the deal with GTA 5?
Exactly.
Where is that game?
And the GTA 5 stuff, Take-Two was really coy on. But at the very end of their call, some guy got the number to call in and ask a question to the investors. And he called in. He was like, I was just wondering, based on your prior games and looking at the business perspective, what is your best game with a cock in it? There's like this long,
it's
awkward
like 10
pause.
Solid seconds.
Yeah, and then it ended up being the last call of the whole thing. So it was just, that was how
the
guy goes, call ended.
Who's taking the call?
Yeah, exactly. It was really good.
So, like, you dial in, you listen in. Do you have the number to call in for questions? Could you have called in a question if you wanted to? Is that only for investors?
I have never seen. I guess maybe if I really comb through all the stuff, maybe the number is listed somewhere. But no, I've never seen the number to call in and ask questions. Because as I understand, I mean, they have an operator who screens these people. Like, the whole point is that you're not supposed to be able to call.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I have no
ask
idea.
Ask about cocks. Yeah, the whole point is that you're not supposed to ask about cocks.
Yeah. I have no clue how that could happen, but I was very glad it did.
I can't wait for the next Take-Two earnings call. because yeah. Reddit is going to be all up on that.
Yeah, seriously.
They're going to be nothing but prank calls.
Either that or no one's going to be allowed to call in.
That was amazing. I love that happened.
Yep.
And then another question was about Agent.
Yeah, they barely
game,
said
I thought that game had been canceled, but maybe that was the agency. Am I getting these confused?
Yeah, that's done.
Yeah, they haven't talked about Agent in a long time, and they kind of still didn't.
Did they say, we haven't announced anything about the title yet?
Yeah,
what does that mean?
Has been announced.
You did announce the title, so yeah. What?
That whole call, I mean, the way they danced around actually saying anything was kind of annoying. Like, everyone was asking about GTA 5, like, several times. Like, three separate times somebody asked about the release date and why they're not talking about the release date. And they just gave, like, a very canned response and couldn't say anything.
The next version of the Grand Theft Auto franchise is exciting to us. That's like,
you said the agency, the SOE MMO got canceled? Yeah, canceled.
Did it?
It's dead.
It is? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it... Okay.
Nope. I mean, it wasn't ever released, right?
Correct. Well, no, that's for sure, but I remember they were still doing demos a while back. I must have missed the news story where it was canceled.
Come on, Greg.
Sorry.
Is your beat...
My SOE MMO beat?
It's coming to PS3. It could have been the next DC Universe Online.
Well,
they were like, we've perfected this. We don't need to do it. We've perfected the MMO on the console. We're done.
Take-Two lost a lot of money.
Yeah.
This quarter. Like, something like $111 million.
Because all they released was The Darkness, I think.
Well, and Max Payne.
And Spec Ops.
And they said that they were disappointing.
Yeah.
They said Max Payne had shipped 3 million copies.
Yep.
So whatever they sold was less than that.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, and 3 million to be, like, so let's say it was, like, 2 or 2.5 million or whatever. Those are great numbers, and they did say that during
the
call.
They used to be, at least,
Yeah, but that's exactly what it is. Like, people are just buying
Call of Duty sells
and
12 million. So.
Right.
And Max Payne costs so much money to make. Like, that game probably costs $100 million.
They were working on it for a long time.
It's funny, or not, it's not funny, it's sad that everyone's losing money, and then yesterday Activision had their earnings call. It was all about how much money they're making. Like, Activision is the only one who's just making so much money right now.
What about EA?
EA was doing
okay. Slightly up.
I think they were up based on their expectations, but down compared to last year is what EA was. Mm. I don't quote me on that.
Well, in spite of losing $111 million, they expect this fiscal year to be a record year for them.
Yeah. And that was the other funny thing. They were like, they're listing all these titles and they were like, we're going to make, $1.8 billion for this fiscal year. They said it's going to be 55% Rockstar games and 45% 2K games. And so the 2K games are Bioshock and Borderlands 2 and XCOM Enemy Unknown and all that stuff that's coming. And then they just didn't say anything about Rockstar. So obviously it's Grand Theft Auto 5.
Right. But that's amazing that... So if that one game from Rockstar will outperform all of these games from 2K.
And like, what other game could that be?
I know, Rockstar only has that game announced, right?
Rockstar Table Tennis 2, maybe? We can hope. State of emergency return.
Oni.
Oni.
Oh,
we've been waiting for a good
How's
a
Rockstar game?
Seriously, where's Bully 2?
There you go. Yeah, that'd be nice.
Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
I love those people.
Greg, Travis Ward has a question about the PlayStation Network.
Okay, Travis Ward. Lay it on me. Slather me up.
When is the agency coming?
I have bad news, Travis Ward. It's been broken to me that after its six-year development cycle, the agency is no longer a game.
Travis says, love your show. I really like how you are concise and relevant in your segments, but still offer a podcast with a long running time. No, that's what I set out to do 6 years ago.
That's the tagline for GameScoop.
Concise and relevant segments with a long running time.
Every Friday.
Travis says, I have seen and heard various sites offer codes for different games on Xbox Live, PlayStation Network, Steam, etc. I know how to gift a game to a friend on Steam. How can I buy a copy or a code for a PlayStation Network game to give to a friend? I do use PSN, so do my friends. But there are some games I want to buy for them, but I don't know how this can be done.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, you can't gift a game straight up. Your best bet would be to get a code for a game off of, you know, Amazon gives those out sometimes. You could buy them that way, ship it to them over that way. Or the, you know, amount of money, buy PSN points, give them that code that comes.
Yeah, then they can just add to their wallet and buy what they want. Yeah.
But you can't straight up be like, oh man, I really love the Expendables 2. Here you go, Damon.
Yeah. They should add that feature.
Yeah.
That'd be handy.
I'll put it on the long list of things the PSN needs that.
This is James Curtis. Hi, GameScoop crew. My name is Jimmy. Okay, Jimmy. all the way from Australia, and I just listened to Damon. The latest podcast.
Come on, Damon.
I have to agree with all the problems you guys had with the Dark Knight Rises. I just have to add one more problem I had with it.
Spoilers,
I didn't understand.
Spoilers.
Skip ahead a minute and a half.
Okay. I didn't understand the point of creating this new character, John Blake, to act as Batman's little helper throughout the movie. Why not just bring in one of the various sidekicks that Batman has had over the years? Greg, I know this is a problem you had with the movie.
Yeah, it was stupid that at the end they were like, "Ooh, use your real. Here's your real. You should use your real name." And I'm like, "All right, finally a payoff. He was originally Dick Grayson, Tim Drake. Nope, he was named Robin." It's like, "Get the fuck out of here."
It's a cute nod.
And there's also the point is that, you know, when Batman steps down, Robin steps up. But in this universe, there's no one named Robin. So they introduced a Robin so that he can fill that role. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, because if they had said Dick Grayson, like 90% of the audience would have just been sitting here like this.
90% of the audience would have been sitting there like that. That's how horribly backwards the audience is.
Do you think the average person knows who Dick Grayson
is?
No. I don't.
Yeah, exactly. I think the average person, if you went to see Batman, would know who Dick Grayson is, thanks to Burt Ward. Thanks to the other run of Batman movies.
I have no idea.
I think there are a lot of people who probably, if you said Bruce Wayne, wouldn't immediately think of Batman.
Probably, yeah.
All right, well, then I guess we should just keep making these movies suck and make them pander to these people. Because that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing! We don't care anymore.
So much of the end of that movie is so Hollywoodified.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it definitely reeks of something that, and I mean, again, just talking out of my ass, but it reeks of something where they... Like Warner Brothers stepped in and was like, "You can't."
Are you sitting in the theater watching and going,
"Yeah,
smells like Warner Brothers."
I was there. It smells like shit. Is what I said. I leaned over in the middle of the movie and I'm like, "This sucks, right?" Yep. Okay. Just making sure we're on the same page.
You're the worst.
You're a monster, Greg Miller.
How
would you score Batman on the IGN scale?
Oh man, I haven't thought about it. I mean, probably in the fives, right? Like, it's not a bad movie, but it's mediocre for sure. Like, it's just like
it's my favorite of the trilogy.
Yep. That is. Fucking preposterous. Nope. And I couldn't respect you less at this moment.
I've seen it 3 times already.
Yep.
Jesus.
Sid Schumann from the PlayStation blog, we were having a conversation about it, and this is before I saw it, so I was just listening to him argue with other people.
He was super down on it, too.
He is, exactly, yeah.
And he's like, in a year, you're all going to regret saying anything you said.
He said, time's going to prove me right on this. In 2 years, you're all going to look back. And as someone who defended Superman Returns when it first comes out, you are going to look back and look like a jackass.
But I don't think I will. I honestly think that, like, it's the same way that when The Dark Knight came out, everyone was super high on it, but since then there are all these people who pick apart the ending and pick apart the logistical jumps in it. Yeah. I feel like people are going to revisit The Dark Knight Rises and realize that it's way more cohesive than they think it is, that it's like really
Begins.
Smart.
If you like Begins now, Begins is way better now than it was.
Yeah, I agree.
The movie
I watched Begins over the weekend.
I mean, dude, Dark Knight Rises, like, I really feel like it's stronger than people think it is. Like, every time I see it, I notice one kind of subtle little thing that hints at, like, stuff that comes later. And rewatching Dark Knight and Batman Begins, like, there's stuff in Batman Begins that thematically sets up so well what happens in The Dark Knight.
No, I get that.
Like, a trilogy, it is so smart how they put it together. Like, it's structured so well.
Hey, let's make a Batman fight in the shadows for 2 movies and then just have him fight in the broad daylight with, like, a complete moron the entire last movie. Let's have him never walk around, because that totally breaks reality in the first 2 movies, but then in the third, he'll just be walking through the sewers, chilling out. I'm a dude in a Batman suit.
This is Jack Stewart. He says, "Hey guys, I never dog on GameStop.
Nah, son.
I bought my games there ever since it was Funko Land. You remember Funko Land?
I remember Funko Land.
Yeah.
They had that great commercial where the hand came out of the TV with money.
Here you go. However, I commonly tell my friends to buy games new, so the money actually goes to the developer and publisher. This was fine until they found out that I sell my used games to GameStop. They call me a hypocrite because I'm helping them make money by selling games. I told them that all I was doing was taking my money from GameStop and that I can't be responsible for what other people do. Plus, I always use the credit to buy new games. So my question is, do my friends have a point? Am I a hypocrite?"
As someone who does exactly what you do, I'm on your side. Those friends suck. They're making a bit of a leap to say you're a hypocrite because you're not. I mean, you are enabling other people to buy used games.
Yeah, but
that's not, that's, like, that's
it's
not you.
Your problem. Yeah, you can't help what other people are going
to
do.
Yeah, I mean, if you're... Because you want people to buy new games and support publishers, you're not allowed to benefit on the games you're done with? That is the worst logic ever.
It's one of those things that I think it all depends on how, loudly you're beating the drum. If you are like, buying used is the worst thing you could possibly do, and then, yeah, you're, I mean, it's not like we're talking about war crimes here.
Sure.
It's video games, so whatever. So.
I mean, yeah, but he isn't buying used. He's
getting the money and then buying new games with it.
I mean, he's right. He is taking more money from GameStop, so I don't know. There's that.
Yeah, and it's also, like, as much as, like, I agree that people should be buying new to support these developers, because, you know, there's so many layoffs and bad things happening in the industry right now. But that said, like, depending on how old you are and what your job is and stuff, like, it can get expensive buying all these games, yeah, especially in, like, a busy season. So there's nothing wrong with, like, taking the stuff you already have and getting money for it to enable you to buy a new game. Like,
would you like to save $4 and buy it used?
$4? Boy, would I!
This is Emmett in Dublin, Ireland.
Oh. Irish accent this time, maybe? Mm. He's thinking about it.
No, I'm not. What up, Damon and the crew? I hear a lot of people asking you what your favorite game of all time was, so I'm going to go a little different route.
Oh, no.
What game was the biggest disappointment for all of you of all time?
Ooh. Ooh.
Easy.
Ooh. Easy.
Yeah, Superman 64.
No, come on, really?
Yep.
Well, Greg is a huge Superman fan.
Yeah, you were a kid, I guess.
I'll never forget opening up Wizard Magazine, and they had screens of Superman 64 in it, and I was like, this is going to be the game that makes me buy an N64.
It's hard to forget that there was a time where that game wasn't a complete fucking joke.
Yeah.
Like, there was a time when we were looking at that going, that could be fun.
Yeah, why not? Like, it's the anime series. So
why did we sound like that?
Because we were very proper young men.
Oh, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Man. I don't know.
I know mine.
What?
Well, I mean, I don't know about all time, but this is just the most recent one was Skyward Sword for...
Because I was going to say, I was going to say Twilight Princess.
Yeah. Twilight Princess.
You can make an argument for either one of those. Skyward Sword is just like, that was the game that really cemented for me that I will just never get into motion control. Like, I tried this whole generation, you know, there were moments where I enjoyed myself to a degree, but I will never be able to play, like, a 60-hour game with motion controls. And, like, if they released Skyward Sword with normal controller on the Wii U, I would revisit it, but, man, I could not make it past, like, the third dungeon in that game.
Yeah.
Ninja Gaiden 3 is a recent example for me.
Yeah.
That game was, like, I was like, yeah, cool, finally, Ninja Gaiden, no Itagaki, new team, new blood, new experimental ideas. No. Did not work.
Wah, wah, wah.
This is Harrison Fenton.
That's a good name.
I was going to say Harrison Ford.
Me too. I was so excited. Yeah, Hot Solo's right into game school.
What's up, guys? Tell me about what these video game cartridges are.
Well, no, we've seen him play PS3. He loves it.
Vita.
Oh, Vita. Oh. Yeah, that was
He's good. Watched Uncharted 3. What?
His graphics. Whoa. Graphics are so real.
Look at that. Wow.
He's wearing his earring. Harrison says, I always enjoy seeing what the new cover art is for the podcast when I download it each week. So he's talking about what shows up on
your iPhone.
Do you do new art every week?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
I also wonder how you guys come to a decision on this. Do you guys discuss it after recording?
There's like a long 9-hour round table the whole rest of the day.
The shark one was sick. So, yeah, last week it was just a picture of a shark saying scoop.
Nice.
Yeah, it's just whatever random stuff. This week it's the Rock Cats, who I saw perform in San Francisco last week. They're a cat band. They're kind of a big deal.
They're the next big thing. They're opening for Katy Perry on her next
tour. Look for their new single, The Mice Men.
Just whatever image is amusing me at the moment that I'm uploading the podcast. This is Nathan. He says, I'm making applications for college in fall, and I'm wondering, should I study journalism? Do you think it's hard to get a job in?
Okay, do English maybe, first. Study English first.
Maybe for you, Nathan. If your grammar skills on display here are any indication, I don't know that you have a career in journalism.
Yeah, for those applications, just look back over. I mean, look for some typos.
Double check your work there. This is Jack Stewart. He says, I've been following THQ's financial troubles. It's been worrying me about Saints Row 4. I guess what I'm asking is, if THQ goes under, does that mean we'll never see a Saints Row 4? How much confidence or lack thereof do you have that we'll get to see this game? I love the franchise and don't want to see it die.
I think the first thing THQ can, like, because THQ is obviously in some trouble. They're not totally screwed yet, but I feel like when the ship really starts going down, the first thing they'll do is start selling off IPs, because that would be the way to make money.
But so,
like,
Saints will probably be the last one, because it's the one they make the most money on. They'll sell Company of Heroes, they'll sell Warhammer, they'll sell... I'm trying to
see how Darksiders does.
WWE.
Yeah, WWE,
Darksiders.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Saints Row 4 is, you know, one of the reasons Enter the Dominatrix became part of Saints Row 4 is that they know they need it.
I think they're banking on that one.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I think we'll actually see Saints Row 4 come to fruition.
I agree 100%. I think if Saints Row 4 doesn't sell well for any reason, that could be the end of THQ, but I don't think it would happen before that.
Mm. be really interesting to see how Darksiders performs.
Darksiders this is their next test right now, is what is going to happen with this game.
I got Xbox copy today, so I'm going to start playing it this weekend.
Yeah. It's cool.
I actually really liked the first game. Big fan of the first game, so I don't know. I played the first
30, 40 minutes at pre-E3, and I wasn't that impressed, but Mitch tells me, you know, he's heard it gets way better.
I'm seeing people play it.
Yeah.
I'm seeing people put. We got your eyes closed. We got channeling right now.
It's fun. It's not fun. It's funny, interesting listening to people in the office talk about THQ stuff because it's like, okay, so Darksiders is next. So when that comes out, it's not going to sell well, and Vigil's going to die. Like that studio is going to close. Like that's kind of the universal mentality you hear because that series isn't really huge.
It's not a blockbuster, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And they said it needs to sell like 3 million copies in order to get a Darksiders 3.
Yeah, that's
and it's like, not
that's
going. Not it's just, happen. Like Max Payne 3 didn't sell that many.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Come on.
Yeah, I.
And that's Max Payne. The Max Payne.
I really can't see Darksiders doing that well. No. And as much as people love Company of Heroes and as awesome as that game looks, I don't see that doing super super well either. Like,
no. I mean, you figure their next big hit's what, WWE? Like that'll be in.
Yeah.
Is that
I think October.
That's September. October.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even that, like, these are all games that are going to do well, but I mean, like we were just saying, like, what well is defined as now, 3 million copies, like, isn't necessarily that great anymore, you know? So it's like, I don't think any of those games are going to sell more than that.
EA wants Dead Space 3 to sell 5 million. That will never happen in any universe.
I mean, and THQ after that has what? They have South Park and...
Yeah, it's South Park, Company of Heroes, Darksiders.
WWE.
South Park could be good.
South Park could do well, yeah.
South Park could be good.
You never know with, like, licensed games like that, you know, like... We'll see. I mean, it'll be really interesting seeing how this all shakes out, because this story has been, like, really, really fascinating to watch.
Damn you, Udraw!
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Why did you... We had too much fun with it at that competition. They based it on that. If they love it on the Wii, they'll love it on the PS3.
The fact that we cheated has been haunting me, Greg.
Really?
Yeah.
Keeps
me up.
Suck it, Dan Shu.
I have been laughing at people posting, like, there was like a Reddit thing called "This is what THQ needs to do," and it just showed the box art of the Wii U draw thing. And right when Wii U marketing starts ramping up, they need to just put those back on the shelves because it's a big tablet with the Wii logo on it, and it says U on it. Mm. It's clever. Very clever.
Clever girl.
This is Lewis. Simple question. What good strategy games are out there for iPhone? I have three recommendations for you, Lewis. Magic 2013.
Oh, yeah. It's so good. It's not on iOS or iPhone? Because it's not on iPhone.
Oh, is it not?
No.
It's iPad only. It is iPad. Lewis, you should buy an iPad.
Yeah,
step one.
Well, I'll replace Magic 2013 with Ascension.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a Magic-style card game that's also awesome. Squid's Wild West. Which is awesome, despite its terrible name.
Yep.
It's an awesome turn-based strategy game. And then Field Runners 2 is a new tower defense game.
So I can think of three.
Three more?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So if you're talking, like, real-time strategy...
just says strategy, so...
Okay, so Command & Conquer is really good. It's like a simplified version of Red Alert 3, which is friggin' awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, I lost it. I lost the other two, Damon.
Mitch, you promised us three.
Ticket to Ride. If you want to,
you think that counts as strategy?
It's a board game. It's turn-based. I mean, you got to be strategic.
Ticket to Ride. It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
I mean, it is a great game.
We played it before the Avengers for like 45 minutes.
Yeah. Yep. And I lost the third one. It's gone. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, if you think of it,
I'll just be like, damn it, I got it. Kick down next week. Kick down the door
the
next
morning.
Week.
They're doing tech fetish in here. You just come running and scream.
Is there a good? Well, I guess I should just ask Justin, but you guys don't know about an Advance Wars clone on iPhone or anything.
Ooh, Advance Wars.
Because we were just talking about a DS, you know, Rich and Audrey making the DS Top 25, and we started talking about Advance Wars, and I was like,
That new one that's that big, huge war game.
I got it. It's Civilization Revolution. That was it. Sorry, carry on.
That was a great game.
No, that's fine. I just didn't know if you knew of any.
I thought Big Huge War Game, we gave it a 9, and it's supposed to be an Advance Wars style.
Yeah, that game looks exactly like Field Commander on PSP, and that game was just a blatant ripoff of Advance Wars.
I might try that out, because I'm really in the mood to play
Advance Wars. Yeah, it looks
really cool. Last night I downloaded Wizorb for iPad.
Yeah.
That game's fun.
Big fan.
That's an 8-bit pixel art Arkanoid game with RPG elements. It's just like, someone was like, I'm going to make a game for Damon Hatfield.
Did they buy a $10,000 Xbox 720 dev kit for you?
They bought it on eBay, I think. This is Steven Santana. Is that Santana's first name?
Yeah.
Is Steven?
Yeah.
So this is the guitar player.
He was playing guitar while he was writing.
Isn't
this,
it Robert Santana?
I think it's Carlos.
Carlos.
I think it's
Damon. No, I think it's Steven.
I think it's Carlos. All right.
He says Mass Effect 3 had that special review format. It has not been seen since. I was wondering if it'll be brought back for Halo 4, Last of Us, Bioshock Infinite, other such major titles. I really liked it. I was hoping it would be incorporated into future reviews.
Maybe.
So we're working on that.
Yeah.
We're sort of revamping our review system.
We did a couple similar things. We did the WWE preview.
Yep.
The Diablo feature. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've done a couple similar things, not for reviews, but it's been rolled out a couple times.
Casey talks about it in his blog post about, you know, we're asking you, the community, what you guys want to see out of our reviews, and if we were to make changes, what you think they should be. And so if you go look at that on whatever Casey's
people.ign.com/KamiKasey, KamiKasey.
There you go.
You can read all about Project Mars.
Starring Veronica Mars.
Nope. I wish.
No. Remember Veronica Mars?
Yeah, that show was great.
I only watched the series finale because she had made a sex tape. I'm like, I'll see what happens here.
This is Tara. I'm an RPG/open world gamer. I love a game with a great deep story, a good challenge, and a pretty long game. Any suggestions on what game I should purchase next for my PlayStation 3? Thank you.
Darksiders 2.
Okay. Yeah. Well, okay. So, yeah, that's coming out. I was thinking the only one I could think of that's out now is Dragon's Dogma.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is actually surprisingly good. Pick, I like that one.
We had a good time on the live stream with that. Yeah. Game's cool.
You know,
if you
have an open mind and can deal with some cheesy dialogue, I am the only one who will ever say this, but Final Fantasy 13 too.
Yeah.
Yep. Reckoning got overlooked by a lot of people.
Yeah.
I love the gameplay of Reckoning. Yeah. The story, so I mute it, but yeah, story's love the gameplay.
Play Reckoning, listen to this podcast.
Yep. Over and over.
This one.
So if they switch, if they skip to this point in the podcast, then go back and listen up to here.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. I see.
This is Luke Gelino.
Okay. He writes in sometimes.
He does. He's from Burbank, California.
California?
Yeah.
That's not far, Damon. Yeah. Let's go.
He has a question about PlayStation Plus.
Oh my gosh, okay.
He says, I just saw that Dead Space 2, Saints Row 2, and Lara Croft Guardian of Light are all free this month on PlayStation Plus.
Huh?
I've been holding out on this service for a while. I'm thinking of jumping in now.
Okay.
My question is this. Do games that I download for free using PlayStation Plus disappear once my subscription has ended?
Yes.
I was thinking of just buying a bunch of one-month PlayStation Plus cards, and then whenever I see a good deal pop up on the service, I would use a card and download the games. Does Sony have any system in place to keep me from doing that?
No, it would cost less money to just buy a year.
Yeah, I think I think Sony has thought that people might try to do that.
They've considered you.
Yeah. Yeah, you only have access to them while you're a PlayStation Plus subscriber. Is that correct?
Yeah. If you buy something on discount, you get to keep it. If you download one of the free games, you only have that as long as you remember. It's kind of like Netflix.
Yeah. This is Nate Sanders.
Hey, Nate Sanders.
Says, I found this picture. Just wanted to share it with you in honor of all the renewed love for Magic the Gathering and at a perfect time with the summer games rolling on. I guess I'm the only real Magic fan in here, but
I sent that around in an email chain last week.
I must have missed that one. It's the different elements of Magic, the five different elements of Magic in Olympic rings. Oh, you don't even know. You don't even know what this is.
No, it's a lovely picture.
It means nothing to you. It means nothing.
That's so good. I love that a lot.
Nate's initials are NES.
Wow,
it's pretty good.
Shit.
Pretty good.
Curb Enthusiasm might come back. I saw that.
As a film?
He's making a movie for HBO, right?
Yeah, with John Hamm, which sounds awesome.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. So into that.
In.
This is Jarek Began. Simple question. I think Mitchie D will enter it.
Okay.
Will Dead Space 3 have split-screen co-op?
No, sir. Sadly not. That's all.
Days
That's all
I got. That
it's all I know.
Army of Two. The Devil's Cartel. First feature they listed was split screen co-op.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, okay. I wonder if split screen is going away just because the resources it requires. Yeah. Well, sure. It makes games look like shit.
Yeah. Take these games that are, you know, made to be high def, like, you know, awesome experiences that look beautiful, and then half them and put them in here, like, and shove this there.
Double the rendering of that on the same screen.
Andrew's just shaking his head in disgust.
The reason I am is because it makes me very worried about what games are going to look like on Wii U, because they keep talking about the processing power to stream a separate image to the device.
Yeah, it's weird. But
we'll see.
This is Alex Scribner. It says, hello, everyone.
Hi.
I've been a listener for a long time, but I'm a first-time writer. On your last podcast, you guys talked about Die Hard and how the change in setting... The late movies didn't take place in confined spaces. It was too big of a change for you to still be a diehard movie. Some of us felt that way. I don't want to speak for Mitch.
I mean, I would. I'm guessing this wasn't an Altano joint.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
Alex says, this got me thinking a little bit about Bioshock and its change in setting with its newest title. While I'm sure I'll play it and enjoy it, the huge difference in setting doesn't really get me excited for the game. Almost doesn't look like a Bioshock game.
Look
at all.
Goldfarb. Look how offended Goldfarb is.
Let Alex continue.
I am.
For me, Rapture is part of the reason the first Bioshock was so great. It was one of the first next-gen games at the time that blew my mind, made me realize the direction the game industry was going in. I fell in love with Rapture, so it's hard to embrace the change. Rapture is what I think of when I think of Bioshock. Without that, I'm not sure it can resonate in a similar way. How was your interest affected when you first saw the new city, and do you think other players may be deterred by larger changes?
I think getting hung up on the name is probably a bad idea in that case. Because yeah. that's just, when I saw that, I was like, this is Irrational's next game. I don't know what it is. Oh, it's called Bioshock? All right, I assume it's called Bioshock because Take-Two decided, this is a brand now. We have Bioshock, we have Bioshock 2, we have the DLC stuff. We need to keep this brand going because it's a good name. People love Bioshock, 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 Bioshock. it was probably conceived as something else. It was probably Ken Levine saying, what if we did this in the sky politics shooter RPG whatever thing?
I mean, I still think it was probably conceived as a Bioshock game. To me, I agree with part of what he said, which is that the best part of Bioshock is seeing Rapture for the first time, and it's so fully realized. And the second you walk around in it, you want to know what's around each corner, and every time you discover something new, you're like, wow, this is amazing, and that's why I love that game so much. The reason Bioshock 2 is not as good of a game to me is because it returned to Rapture, because we'd already seen that world. There was nothing yes, it's a different side of Rapture or whatever, but it's just not that interesting. And playing as a Big Daddy is interesting mechanically, but I don't think story-wise it did anything for me. And I would hate to see them go back to Rapture yet again. I think what makes Columbia is exciting.
You just explained exactly why Minerva's Den didn't move my meter.
Well, you're the worst. Minerva's Den is great.
Sorry.
But,
you're the only person I've heard say that they didn't love Minerva's Den.
I enjoyed it, but it was just it's Bioshock. The story was great, but actually playing it, I was kind of bored.
The thing with Bioshock is that what makes that world so great, though, is that it's inspired by so much, like Ayn Rand and this dystopian, terrible bullshit is what inspired that world, you know what I mean? And so, if Columbia, the city in Bioshock Infinite, is inspired by American exceptionalism and all this other stuff, and a look at the world and, the 1900s and everything, I think could be equally great. I think Ken Levine's a very smart guy. I think it will win you over.
Yeah, it's a new world to discover.
I think that's the most exciting thing about the Bioshock franchise. I would hope the next game is also in a new city. I would hope they just kind of explore themes and imagery and how that works and how that plays into the similar mechanics of
and I don't know, he's talking about it being more open spaces and stuff like that. It's still on it's a floating city or flying city, so I mean you're still limited just like you were underground. It's not you can go anywhere or do anything
underwater.
Sorry, underwater, my bad.
Yeah.
I only watch trailers for Bioshock. I'm not 100% what happens in
that. Yeah. It's also
there's a lot of aquariums in this place.
you're still going to get a lot. Now plasmids have been replaced by vigors and what's the other? They replaced tonics with fulcrum. Nope. Something like that. There's some word for it.
Sassafras.
Sounds really cool. So I think mechanically it'll play the same. You shouldn't be worried. You're going to love it. It's going to be great.
Well, okay. Now, I have high hopes for Infinite, but I am a little nervous about the delays, the fact how we've seen very little of the game. It makes me a little nervous. I feel like there are development problems with Infinite.
I agree 100%, and it's also very troubling that the gameplay we've seen is so controlled and scripted. I have very, very high hopes, but it's not looking good from what they're showing. What the public-facing side of it is not looking good. Yeah.
Our last email this week comes from Jermaine Gilmore.
Jermaine! Ooh,
that's a really good name.
Yeah.
Actually, it says his name's Jason. I don't know.
Well, get it together.
I don't understand. Are people emailing from other email accounts? Why don't you use your own email?
They're just at the library. This computer's on. And they just start emailing games.
We got an email from Ishmael to Podcast Unlocked. And he's like, hi, I'm Mike. It's like, well, I know that Ishmael means Michael, but you can just say Ishmael. I can read your name. I know what's going on.
What if he goes by Mike, though?
Maybe.
Jason says, so I'm 32 years old.
Oh, my God.
Right? Right?
Jesus Christ.
Over the hill.
What's Social Security like?
Says, I'm enjoying playing the Magics on Xbox. Me too, Jason.
Yeah.
Says, I make the error of saying, hey, self, why don't you find your local comic book store and get that sweet free booster pack? Because they advertise in the game, if you play Magic 2013 on Xbox, you can get a free booster pack with Magic IRL.
How do you do that?
You have to go to a comic book store and redeem a code or something. Oh, okay. Yeah, they give you a code or something. Yeah.
You bring your hard drive.
So cue me walking into the den of 12-year-old boys, feeling like a dirty pedo. Flashback to 1994, remembering that weird old dude at the card shop who used to pwn us all at Magic the Gathering because he had a job with disposable income. So a public service announcement for my fellow old gamer listeners. Resist the siren call of free swag and Friday Night Magic. They aren't for us. Don't be that guy. P.S. That booster pack is pretty sweet.
Damn.
Don't See, be, I can't don't find be, a shop to go get it.
Don't be stupid. Go do this. Don't. If you, yeah. you got to change it. You got to change. You, if you go in there, you bring your friends.
I think
you
it's
bring
fine.
Other 30-year-olds.
Yeah. Your local comic book shop should be an awesome place.
I love comic shops. Right? I've never been in a comic shop that I didn't want to like live in.
And I think people of all ages should be able to walk into your local comic shop and buy a Magic the Gathering booster pack. That should be okay.
Also, Jason. If you need people to play with, just come to the IGN office because everybody is playing it.
Except Goldfarb.
He's a little.
I'm not playing with you.
Goldfarb's a little hostile towards it. He has something against it.
I don't mean to be hostile. I'm very happy.
Goldfarb wastes his disposable income on figures. <That's true. laughs>
That's all the scoops we have for this week. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Mitch. Thank you, dear listeners. Remember, you can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com. I leave you this week with a track by Kill the Noise called Deal With It. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop. And we're on.
Basically, what I was thinking is... Basically, what I was thinking of was, oh, fuck, I can't believe you've done this. Come get up. Beware,
I live. IGN Gamescoop.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.